Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news?
All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. I was under the weather last week, so I apologize for not being here, but feeling quite a bit better today. In fact, I had a lot going on. Been going barefoot a lot. More and more, actually. all the time. I was actually trying to think back to the last time I wore shoes, and I had to go back about 2 months, with the exception of when I do my pet rescue. I have them with me, and I put them on if I have to use the restroom, but behind the desk that we're at, I don't have them on, or rarely ever. It's just kind of to, since I am representing the pet rescue, and there seems to be no intention if I don't, but I just, you know, that's about the only thing I really do. But I only need them, like, if I get up to walk across the store, which is rare. And then also, for our pet rescue, I've been restoring our van, which we go out to the shelters to pull the cats and dogs off the euthanasia lists. We go out to all of the rural shelters. A lot of these places are one-way trips where for the animals, I mean. If we don't pull them, it's likely they're going to get euthanized. So we have a big extended cargo van, a Dodge cargo van, that was in need of quite a bit of repair. And I used to do that kind of work years ago and still do for a hobby here and there. So I've been knee-deep in working on that project. But it's coming along great. It really is. When I'm working on it, the only two times I really wear shoes is if I'm welding or when I'm painting. Now, unlike house paint, where, you know, usually it would be a place you want to go barefoot, with the automotive paint, the floor gets very sticky when I'm spraying that, even though I've got a full booth, actually, at my residence, which is probably a little unusual, but it gets rather sticky on the floor. So for that reason, you know, I do wear them then. But I was trying to think back otherwise, and really it took me back to mid-September, mentioned times, I think when I had them in the what's also good about that is, you know, we tend to eat out at least one meal a day, sometimes two. Now, I know that's not always the greatest thing to do, but with different priorities and challenges these days, that tends to happen. And I eat at a variety of places, and have not been confronted once. Now, I do wear my flip-tops, which is a barefoot sandal that resembles a flip-flop. And I think that's what's making the difference. But as example, last night we were in an Italian restaurant. It's a pizza place slash restaurant. You know, it's not just your regular pizza place, but it's not a real fancy restaurant, right in between there. And the place was packed. I mean, end to end. And it's a pretty good size restaurant. Probably, you know, about 50 feet across and I'd say 25, 30 deep. I mean, it's pretty good size. Maybe even larger than that, the more I think about it. It may go even farther across than that, maybe 70 feet across. Pretty good size. And again, it was really busy. And my wife and I were in there for probably an hour and a half. I mean, we were pretty much, just hanging out and drinking beer and, you know, having dinner. And not a problem in the world. And I was right out in the front too. It's not like I was hiding up in a booth somewhere. In fact, this place doesn't have booths. It's all tables. And not the single problem. And I truly haven't had any. So I highly recommend people try some form of a barefoot sandal. And to me, ones that look more like a shoe definitely also works better if you have long jeans on too versus, you know, shorts. But even when I've had shorts on and had them on, I haven't had any issues. So that's been good. The other afternoon, I decided to walk to a restaurant, actually. It was really just for takeout. I was working on the van I mentioned and didn't really want to get in the car and go anywhere. So where I live, I have a driveway that's literally 200 yards long. Without exaggeration, I mean, I measured the thing once. So if you can visualize two football fields end to end, that's the distance of it. And the surface is not in terrible shape, but it's not in great shape, so it is a little rough. But I've noticed, I guess because I've been going there for so much, it really didn't bother me. I was able to walk down it rather comfortably, where before times it would be a little challenging. I've been wanting to have it sealed, you know, where they put that real smooth sealer on it. And then I think I would walk more places and walk down the driveway more to go places. But it really wasn't too bad. I was kind of surprised. One of the things I realized also is when you do have to walk in an area that is a little rough, you know, might be hard on your feet a little bit. A mindset to relax. You literally have to put your brain, I think when it's receiving signals and there is a little too rough or something, we tend to tense up a little bit. But I found out if you can kind of force yourself to relax, it makes a tremendous difference on how something feels walking over it. I mean, it's not like I want to walk over surfaces like that, but sometimes you don't have a choice. So just a suggestion, worked surprisingly well for me. I have to consciously, if I notice I'm on an area, consciously put myself in a calmer state, and it becomes way more tolerable. I can't tell you exactly why, but it really does seem to make a difference, at least for me. So again, I'd recommend trying that. This back to the project I'm working on. Again, as I mentioned, with the exception of when I'm actually doing paintwork or welding, which I'm doing quite a bit of that on this. In fact, I might have to cut the show slightly or early today because I've got to get out there before too long and finish some work up. But, you know, I've literally been doing all the other work completely barefoot. And I noticed there were a few days where I had to, like, get in and out of the van in the cargo area, not in the front, but and walk around, and you know, it has a fairly uneven floor, and just days that I guess I really was working long hours. I mean, I put in some literally 12 and 14 hour days on this thing trying to get it done for the rescue group. But where I'm going with this is there was a few days, especially at first when I started the project, where my feet would get a little tender and hurt a little bit. Times of working on it day after day, I was noticing, you know, even today, just how good it felt. You know, that's I found if you push yourself a little bit, you want to do it slowly, of course, especially if you're not used to it. Which I'm going to actually be covering that in an article later, as far as breaking into it slower. But you want to go slower, but if you get to the point where you can go a little past your comfort zone, it seems like your feet adapt own, they create their own padding in a way. And it's rather comfortable once it gets to that point. I had mentioned the other day when I walked down the driveway to go to the restaurant, I really was enjoying myself. I got off the driveway and walked across the street, and it was nice and warm on the ground. It really felt good. I was thinking to myself, how many people change over and over again but don't partake in the simple pleasures such as just walking barefoot? It just really feels good, especially the different temperatures and textures. That to me is one of my favorite things, is experiencing the differences between surfaces and the temperatures, or going to a grocery store and you go down the frozen aisles and then walk into another area that's warmer, and then outside and into different areas, the different experience, the different temperatures, textures, your deal. And again, I think to myself, why are people not enjoying this? It's here. It's so easy. It's so simple. But it's so rare that I see anyone else going barefoot. And you think living in Florida, I would, but I just don't. Really amazes me, actually. I think I've said that before on this show. Doing pet rescue, I'm literally in a pet store, a big box pet store, every Sunday from about 10 to 2:30 in the afternoon. About 3 o'clock, we leave. And it's been a long, long time since I've seen somebody come in barefoot. I just don't see it anymore. I remember years ago, I'd see it at least occasionally. I could almost count on seeing maybe one or two people in a weekend. In the sun, on that day. But seems like for the last at least couple of years, I just don't see it anymore. Or in other stores as well. Stores like a Walmart or something, at least once or twice a week. And I'm amazed that it's literally been years since I've seen anyone in there. And I saw a older teenage girl walking with her mom maybe 2 years ago. And the girl was barefoot. When I say older, she's probably like late teens, maybe even early 20s. Talked to her for a little bit, and she said she really didn't like great when she was in it barefoot all over the place. And her mom was kind of like, disowned her practically. It was unbelievable that she was, I'm trying to remember the exact words she used. But that didn't stop from going barefoot. That was kind of good. But it was interesting. But again, that was quite a while ago. I hope I see it pick up soon. It's got to be a change. It's just, you find there is so much information available on how many benefits there are. And as soon as we come back from the break, which will be another 15 minutes yet, I'm going to go ahead and read that article, one of the articles that I have to go over. But not to harp on the same thing, but it just amazes me that more people don't take in this. And if you're somebody that hasn't, you really should try. And I think it's a lot like exercise. It's one of those things where if you don't do it, when you do, it may not be that comfortable. It may not feel very good. You know it's good for you. Some people continue because they know that. Others do not. John, welcome to the program.
Hello there, John. How are you this morning?
Good. Who am I speaking with?
Well, Should I make up a name?
Okay. All right. Mary, how are you doing?
Well, I could be better. But that's not really the point. I wanted to speak with you about what you were speaking about just a few moments ago.
Go right ahead.
Well, which part of it would you like me to speak about?
You had called in, so you have the floor. You know what you were wanting to speak about. So please let me know.
All right. Guess I'll just go right for it, which is this. I'm thinking that these incidences, or the event, if you prefer to call it that, in Paris, France, was more of a red flag or a tribe event. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry, you said you were calling in based on something I was speaking about. I really hadn't spoke on that subject.
I know. I just went for something else since you gave me free rein.
Oh, okay. I'll be honest. I mean, it's a terrible tragedy. Did you say you think they're contrived events? Is that what just? I didn't follow what you said.
I do. I think there's actually perhaps more evidence that this event may have been contrived than there is not. But
I guess I don't believe in that. I think it truly is terrorists, people that are out to do harm, you know,
So the terrorists are the ones to blame. Is that what you're saying?
I believe so.
Really? Do you have any idea where the terrorists come from, or is it a national issue? Are they from a particular nation on the planet, or are they aliens, or they mixed? They've started a new nation. Or I'm just curious about your thoughts about this. I do not think they are terrorists, except actors or crisis actors. But let's go with this. So you believe they really are terrorists. So can you tell me a bit about why they did what they did? What are their motivations? What is a terrorist?
The motivations are based on their belief system in their religion. They believe that they're doing the right thing by harming other people that are not part of their beliefs and religion. And it's, you know, really a big problem. It's not a specific nation. It could be any type of person that just has a belief in that same type of religion. And I'm not blaming the religion. It's how it's perceived.
Well, you are blaming the religion. So what religion is it? You think these terrorists?
No, I mean, obviously. I mean, you're asking questions that it's a common knowledge of Muslims' beliefs in the Quran, and that's, you know, it's just a common knowledge.
What do you mean by common knowledge? Because I don't have this sort of knowledge. Where would you get this knowledge from? I just don't understand.
I don't understand where you're trying to go with this, because I mean it's been known for years that this is going on. It's been reported on for years by every broadcaster out there, regardless of their background. So you know, I'm sorry, I'm not understanding why, you know, you're asking that specific question. It's when I say common knowledge, it's just like anything that's reported on. Not that we have to believe everything that's reported on, but when it's coming from multiple sources continuously, I don't think it's contrived.
Well, I'll tell you a bit why I'm asking. So the event that happens at the World Trade Center Towers, it is common knowledge, as you say, that terrorists were responsible for that. And yet, there's been increasingly large amount of evidence that shows it's not true. That's why I'm asking questions of you. So, do you think that terrorists at the Twin Towers?
Terrorists definitely did the Twin Towers.
They did.
So-called evidence that you're mentioning.
Muslim terrorists did the Twin Towers.
Yes.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just bringing it up because, you know, the social media is just filled with stories, you know, this morning and last evening about Paris, France. And I just believe that there's just a lot more other interesting things about Paris, France than there are about the event. And there's a lot of evidence, you see, that there is such a thing as a crisis actor and events that have been staged so that the systems which respond to emergency and crisis situations are better able to deal with them. There's been much evidence that the events at Sandy Hook, for example, also the Twin Towers, what was that thing that happened in Boston, the marathon. Much evidence has been produced that actually those things were contrived events. And they used what's called crisis actors, people who are paid by the military. Do you remember what happened in the area near Russia last year? Oh, goodness, what is it called? Ukraine. Did you read on the social media and some other alternative news stories that many of those people who we perceived as rioting in the streets, because that was what was presented to us on the news that most people watch on the telly, they were paid $100 or such to be a rioter in the street. See where I'm going with this? This is why I'm asking the questions.
It's actually not my area of expertise. So did you call in specifically for something on this program?
Recordings that my voice could be heard, so things I was thinking about could be heard. And I know that Freedomized Radio is a place where I can do that. So what do you consider your areas of expertise to be? I don't have any for myself, so as you may well have heard. But what are your areas of expertise?
Have you been listening to the show? No, I mean, did you called in on the show? Were you actually listening to it?
Oh, wait, sorry, excuse me, just heard something at the door. I'm sorry, what did you say? I'm sorry.
I said, you know, have you been listening to the show?
To what you were saying? No, I wasn't.
Okay, so you just called
in. But I've been listening. However, I have been listening to Freedomizer Radio for quite a few years. So I understand that they're in a cycle right now with some new radio hosts, however, I do know the sort of basic philosophy of the Freedomizer Radio. And, you know, I know that it's a call-in sort of network. And, you know, I'm just asking questions, so.
Okay.
And,
the thing is, it is a call-in, but each show has a topic. So based on that topic, you know, for the benefit of the audience that would be calling in to listen with that interest, you would want to call a show that was discussing, let's say, the issues or something close to what you're wanting to talk about, because otherwise it gets too disjointed. It's not something where somebody can listen at a certain time and hear the specific topics. This show is called Barefoot is Legal. It's just about the legal, the benefits, the health benefits and rights of going barefoot. That's really all it is. But there are other shows that talk about conspiracy theories, as an example, or the mainstream media, or, you know, different liberties that may be violated. So there might be a show that you'd want to listen to, which you can look up, you know, on Freedomizer to see when they air, that would be more in line with your discussion topic.
Well, I think that's probably true. Not probably, most definitely true. However, I do have an interest in the topic that you are speaking about, barefoot topic. So I do apologize if it threw you off your game, but like I said, my intentions are friendly. So
no, that's I also fine. I just, for the benefit of giving you better information, actually. And for the listeners that are interested in such, you probably want to find a show that it aligns with you know the type of topic, and I'm sure there's plenty of them out there that would be more in line.
Well, I think I'm just fine with speaking with you right now as I have been, and I have tried the barefoot thing, you know. Extremely difficult to live in an urban area.
Well, it can be, but it's what I was discussing actually earlier is it's similar to exercise. When you first start and try it, it may be difficult, it may be painful, it may have challenges, but the more you practice, the more you exercise, the easier it is and the more comfortable it becomes. There are no health codes, there's no laws, so there's really no, there's a lot of myths out there about it. As far as health codes or something that do not exist.
Yes, it's interesting. As I said, I have tried this because I do actually prefer most of the time to go barefoot. But
it's way better for you. It definitely is something that's there's a lot of information out there on how the health benefits that are out there. Surprisingly, just walking barefoot on regular earth reduces inflammation. It's kind of like the best antioxidant you can get just by being connected to the earth. And that's not just hearsay or anything else. It's actually medical professionals, doctors, research studies that have come out and made that known. It's also the biomechanics of your body. You were designed to be barefoot. It's just like if you drive down the road in your car, if you're going to get new tires on your car, you're going to get an alignment done, I assume. You know, anyone that gets tires put on their car always gets an alignment on the car. And the way this ties into it is when you're barefoot, you're in a perfect alignment. Your spine, all of your joints all the way down your body is in perfect alignment. But as soon as you put on any type of a shoe, it throws that all out of alignment and starts causing all kinds of pains and problems with practically every joint in your body.
But don't you think that has to do with if one is walking on a natural surface, like the earth? Where I live, for example, most of the time I would not be walking on natural surface or the earth. I'd be walking on concrete, steel, stone, cracked stone. Not really the same thing as walking on the sand on the beach or on the earth.
Well, actually, the alignment part is the same. You know, regardless of the surface you're walking on, if you change the way your body's aligned by putting a shoe on, it's going to throw everything out of joint, literally. and cause problems. So it's not really the surface. Walking on a smooth surface, you know, it is perfectly fine. People can do it just fine. Concrete, even though it's from natural materials, so you're still grounded. And being grounded is a very important part of what I mentioned about the benefits, the antioxidants that you receive just from being in connection with the earth.
I guess I disagree there. I think the surface that one is walking on makes a great deal of difference. So I guess I sort of ascribe to this practice in, I don't know if moderation is the correct word for me to use about myself in anything, but as is possible, I really think that the surface one is walking on makes a great deal of difference. And so as often as possible, I take my shoes off and my socks as well. But if I'm walking on a lot of that hard metal and steel, I'm going to do it.
Metal and steel, I don't know where you're walking on metal.
Even with the shoes on. So.
The thing is, I've done a lot of research. There's plenty of material I could reference that just being barefoot, regardless of the surface you're walking on, even a hard surface, it's not a matter of your feet adapt. It's amazing. Just like I mentioned earlier about exercising, sure, when you first did it, it might hurt, but your feet adapt. They become thicker. They really do adapt. And it's all surfaces are actually much better. Now, of course, I take that back. There are surfaces, like if you're going out into a junkyard or something, or a place where there's true dangers, you want to use them just like you'd use gloves or any other tool. But as far as just a clean sidewalk or a floor inside of a store or anywhere, it's perfectly fine. And
there you go. So I was speaking about, I was referring to the fact that there really are dangerous places for us to walk. You know, and quite a while ago that wasn't the truth. Let's say you lived in New York City in 1825. If you were in the city there, perhaps I don't know enough about it, but let's make it 1865. You'd be wading through a lot of horse shit, quite literally, on the streets. So I guess it'd be easier for you to hose off the shit at the end of the day than do it to new pair of shoe leather pants.
Again, that's something that really doesn't, you know, you're not going to really run into today. And actually, it's rather safe. You know, when you think about the Industrial Revolution in the beginning of the century through, you know, even mid and late century, the 1900s, the 20th century, there were things made of more raw materials, like there's a lot of glass or there's, you know, sharper objects or metal. Nowadays, you know, what am I going to do, step on a plastic fork? It's not near the danger. I would put it out there that people that are wearing shoes suffer from more damage to their feet than somebody that doesn't. I've been going barefoot for over 20 years, and the typical problems people have, I don't have. I just don't. And I've never really had anything dangerous that I've stepped on. Have I ever gotten a splinter or something here or there? Sure. But how many times have people had their shoe rub against their skin and wear it raw, and you know, it's an unnatural device that you have on your foot that can cause problems. So anyways, you know, it's one of those things where if you have not experienced it long term, the perception, the things that would seem obvious as far as dangers, perceived dangers, the reality is they're nowhere nearly as dangerous. There's also something our brains do that's shut off when you're wearing shoes. It's proprioception. I probably am pronouncing it wrong. But your brain actually has an awareness of the area around your surroundings. It actually has a very clean, clear awareness of where you're walking, and it's subconscious. You don't even realize it's happening. Kind of like all of the little sensors in a car that communicate with the computers in milliseconds, giving them information. Your brain does the same thing. There's been many times I've walked down a sidewalk and looked back, and there might be little branches or nuts or whatever on the ground, and I haven't stepped on any of them, walked right past them. And I think that's because that part of my brain is turned back on, where somebody that's not used to it would have to be quite a bit more careful until they became more aware.
Well, it sounded interesting that, and disturbing as well, that in the public library systems, in two states that I know of for sure, I'm not even speaking of being shoeless. I'm speaking of being in a chair, seated, and removing your shoes, that the security is so hypersensitive to this, which says to me they must be having actual meetings about this. If you see someone with no shoes, be sure to go over there and tell them they must put their shoes back on. It's like,
well, that's hard.
Where did this come from, and why?
Well, that's part of why we have this show, is to let people know that it's something that's healthy, it's something that's legal, but the perceptions actually go back to, it actually goes back to when they had some people say it was because of the hippies, they put the no shirt, no shoes rules to keep them out. Other people say it was because of civil rights keeping out black people in a way that they could discriminate, because if they were poorer at the time, a lot of them didn't have shoes, so they put up a sign saying you must have shoes to come in. Once all the other rules were changed where they legally couldn't. And since then, it's kind of stuck. People have... we've got a culture that believes that you have to have shoes on at all times in a public place. And the reality is you're doing so much damage to yourself. You're not going to hurt anyone else, but you're not transmitting anything to anyone else. People are always worried about germs and bacteria and everything like that, but majority of things that the germs that you receive come in through wet openings, your mouth, your nose, eyes, etc. You're not touching those areas with your feet.
I know.
You're touching them with your hands.
I know. Propaganda is just so powerful. I remember it coming in, I guess it was the 80s, and I lived in Hawaii for many years, and I really have been slipping off my shoes pretty much wherever I go for probably forever. Now, in the 80s, I remember this. There started to become this ad that had to do with Japanese health, and it had to do with the bottom of the soles of your feet. And right around that time came information about the soles of your feet being sort of like the gateways to immediate absorption of anything that you put on the soles of your feet. Kind of like how we used to think of putting something under your tongue. You know, you put something under your tongue and whoosh, it goes right into your bloodstream. But this happened in the 80s, okay? I'm telling you, I've been going to the library since the 70s, both in New York State and in California. And it has not been, except for the last, and I'm not, and actually, see, I'm not disagreeing with you about what you just shared about the initial reasons why the barefoot thing was sort of outlawed. I think that the way things
but
go.
But never outlawed.
Well,
that's
right.
It was never outlawed.
Well,
there is no laws. There are no
I
laws.
Know. I know that. But here's the other thing that's interesting to me. So it is this, that so, because I've confronted them about this in the public library. I've slipped off my shoes and walked barefoot onto the buses here in California. And so what's interesting to me is that this is especially true of California, you know, commie-cornia, as you say. I mean, you know, there's probably more lawsuits and we are all equal. And, you know, even if somebody's renting a house and renting a room in somebody's private house, you know, they have rights. They have rights. I have to remind them, actually, no, you don't. It's private property here. You know, if somebody says, I don't want you renting here because I don't like curls on the top of your head, actually, they can tell you to leave. It's not the federal government here where the federal government says we're all equal. Everything goes. Everything goes. Everything goes. It's what's interesting to me is that with this barefoot thing, now they want to talk private ownership and we can say whatever we want. See? Public library. It's not a law. I know this. I say that to them. Same thing on the bus. Not a law. That's when they pull out their, this is a private bus company card. And we're telling you, you have to wear shoes because we're a private bus company. Oh, all of a sudden now, they're privatized. See? And what I was trying to share about this thing about this information that was all over the TV, and I'm telling you, in the 80s, I didn't watch that much TV. I really didn't. Hardly at all. And so yet somehow I got the information, this new information, that the soles of our feet were so sensitive, places to take in things, but also to let out our germs. And in fact, the thing that they were advertising was this thing that had to do that sucked the dirt out of your body. You put these pads on the bottom of your feet.
Right.
And it sucked the dirt out. Propaganda is very, very powerful because I'm telling you, before that, out there in the world, if you took your shoes off, you just took your shoes off, you know, under the table or whatever. It was not a big deal. In fact, if you think about it, because I did live in Hawaii for many years, where it's the practice to take your shoes off before you go in somebody's house because your shoes are way dirtier than your feet. And if you wear your shoes
right.
in the house, it carries the dirt all around. Common sense, right? That's what I'm saying about propaganda. Propaganda is so powerful. It just seems to supersede all of our thinking ability. So, you know, you seem to be a sensible, you know, person with this. You know, you said, you know, hey, you know, if you're coming up on a pathway of glass, of course, you know, you put something on to protect your feet the same way you would wear protective gloves. But this barefoot thing has really been interesting to me because of the things I just mentioned.
It is, and again, there's a lot of perceptions that there are laws out there, or there's dangers or something's going to get absorbed. Again, the majority of things you can bring into your body are going to come in through your wet openings, your mouth, the nose, etc. People used to be concerned about hookworms. You probably heard that one, that they can come in through the bottom of your feet, which is true. However, ever since we've had plumbing in this country, once that was introduced, you know, it's been eradicated practically. That it comes from usually third world countries where they don't have good plumbing and sewer systems, and they're walking in feces or whatever. Here, it's been virtually eradicated. It's just not an issue. But it's still brought up. Cats and dogs can have hookworms, but they're a different type. They don't even enter people. And if one gets inside of a person, it can't live inside of them. It's a foreign environment for them. It's a different temperature of a body that they're used to being in, and it kills them. So a lot of people think they're going to get them because their cats or dogs could have them. The reality is it's almost, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning, or probably even way better chance of getting struck by lightning than contracting anything through your feet.
Yeah. Well, see, I think the nasal cavities are very, very sensitive, and the mouth. Yet, you know, what's driving me crazy lately are these cheap smelling shampoos and deodorants, hairsprays. I don't know what it is that people are spraying, but I know it smells different than it did years ago. This is going into our nasal cavities, right? That's okay. You know, we can smell poison. To tell you the truth, I think they're more irritating than cigarette smoke, but, you know, once again, it's an issue of propaganda. But the feet, that's... So, I know in the beginning when I first called, it sounded like I was off topic, but how I'm tying it all in together, and actually I got to go now. It was great talking to you. It was, you know, this power of propaganda. And good Lordy, well, we're in a mess here. Unless we really, really make an effort to think. Everything that's presented to us is crazy. Thanks for taking.
Sure, it's easy to take things at face value, and they're not always what they seem. I will agree with that. I may not agree on some of the things you brought up earlier, but there are times when there's something that seems like it would be very innocent, and it truly isn't. Something to watch for, that's for sure. But I appreciate you calling in.
Fine.
And have a great rest of the day. And go ahead and try to go barefoot a little more. You'll find the health benefits. If you just type in the computer health benefits and going barefoot, you'll be amazed at how many health benefits there are, things you wouldn't even think of.
I know about the health benefits. What my concern is, we're living, I am anyway, I'm in a city and in a country where if I were to just go barefoot, I'd end up in jail most probably, likely. That's really what's going on.
There's no law against it. So here's the thing.
That doesn't matter.
I've read so many comments, like out on a Twitter or something, that say, I would go barefoot if it was socially acceptable. And they've done actual surveys, and you'll get about 75% of people saying that. Yet people don't, because they perceive it as not being socially acceptable. Well, if 75% of the people think that they would do it, that's kind of the acceptance. It's going to get there. But...
I got to say this, because this is true. I'm telling you that let's say I decide today I'm going to take one of my two cell phone video cameras with me, and I'm going to stand at the bus stop, like I take the bus all the time, and I'm going to get on the bus with no shoes. And that bus driver is going to say to me, you have to put some shoes on or you can't get on the bus. And I'm going to say, no, I don't, because there is no law. And I'm going to turn on my camera. He's going to get on his radio, and he's going to call security and the cops, and they're not going to arrest me for no shoes, but they're going to arrest me for being belligerent or disrupting the peace. See? And I'm telling you, I know this, and I could do it, but I don't have time to, because I've got to survive.
I've got to survive. I don't want to spend my time in one of their goofball jails where they're going to make money because they got another head in their privatized jail system, which nobody knows about. That's the truth of it. That's really what will happen. Okay. And I know that because I've done enough of my own research to take it to the edge and see that. But I've got to survive. So I'm not going to do that. But I'm telling you that's what would happen. Because I've experimented with it.
I've been going barefoot for over 20 years. And you are right. There are times when somebody may tell you you can't. But believe it or not, it's fewer and farther between than you think. And how are you going to change anything if you just accept it? Kind of some of the things you discussed earlier. So if you know there's nothing wrong with it and you go ahead and do it, if they tell you not to get on that bus, you may want to have a pair of flip-flops with you or something. Put them on and get on the bus. But the majority of time, you will not have a problem.
Not here in San Diego. You'd have a problem most any time. And that's what got my attention. It's as though about 2 years ago, they had special meetings about barefoot people. Because this is San Diego. We've got beach here, you know? Out of all the states in the United States, you would think, hey, you know, we're by the beach. We're close to the beach anyway. You know, it's got to be a little bit more acceptable. But it's as though... they had special meetings at some point about barefoot people. And I'm not going to do anybody any good in a jail cell where they've taken my cell phone and I can't say a word anymore. I don't have rich parents. I don't have a sponsor who's going to sponsor me to do this kind of activist work. So, you know.
You're not going to end up there most likely. Like I said, if they tell you you can't get on a bus because you're barefoot, if you have a pair of flip-flops.
I'm not going to prove myself right just to. I'm telling you, yes.
No, I didn't say to. You just put them on, and you won't have a problem. However, the more people get out there and try it, the more it'll break down those barriers. You're just not going to get thrown in jail unless you become belligerent about it. Yes, but if it's like they say, okay, you can't. They're like, okay, I have some.
No, I won't be able to ride the bus either. I won't be able to ride the bus either. He'll say you can't get on the bus.
I just mentioned, carry some flip-flops with you. They cell types that fold up. They're very small. They fold in half. And you just carry them with you.
Oh, flip-flops, yeah. Oh, I'm talking about pure
just carry,
pure
barefoot. Just carry them.
Oh, flip.
No, I'm
yeah.
saying,
okay.
No, I'm saying okay. Carry them with you. Go barefoot. Carry them with
mm-hmm.
you. And then just try that. I have another caller that's calling in, so I'm going to go ahead and thank you, Mary, for good talking with you.
Okay.
And have a good time. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, this is John from Barefoot is Legal.
Hi, Joe. I didn't mean to necessarily call in to say anything. I just wanted to see. I was actually testing to see if my phone was working. So I'm like, oh, call Freedom as a Radio. But that's awesome. So you are Joe. I am Cecilia. I actually co-host with Proof on Wednesday nights.
Great.
So how's your day going so far? How's the show?
It's going well. Have you been listening at all or just happened to call in?
I happened to call in, and then I was just listening for a little bit, just for the time that I came in. And I'm at work right now. I'm on my lunch break, just putting away my bicycle. I happened to come across. I usually go to this parking garage, like right here at my work, sometimes on lunch on the weekends. And it's a parking garage, not the one that belongs to my job. It's on the opposite side of the street. And I happened to find a really cool little natural habitat trail. And it has, like, all these little dips, and it has, like, this little, like, it's like a pond or something, like a desert pond, because I live in Phoenix, so I'm in the desert, you know. But, yeah, it was just so intriguing. So I took my bicycle down this little trail, and it, like, led to the overpass of the freeway, and this really big open space, and, like, kind of like forbidden area for cars unless you work in there. So that'd be a good place on the concrete there to walk around barefoot, especially now that it's not as hot here in Arizona.
Right. That can be a challenge if it's too hot. I know I've spoken with Bruce before, and he runs into that same challenge.
Yeah.
I'm in Florida, and it does get hot here, too. But surprisingly, it's maybe not too bad. But now that it's cooler, you definitely should try more. It's so good for you.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't catch what you said.
I think it's important to energize with the ground. And I say that out of experience because growing up, we didn't, like, my dad would get mad at us if we were to walk around barefoot. Oh, you would never catch us barefoot on the street or anything. Not even in the house. You get in trouble for that. And I would say that that's kind of, that is harmful to the nurturement of a child and of a human, because you essentially need to feel that you are, like, it's kind of interesting to explain, but you have to feel like you're, like, balanced with the ground underneath you, and that you're able to fully feel the way it is to walk correctly and put your feet on the ground and, like, really just connect. Because, you know, a lot of the flip-flops and stuff are made of with rubber, so there's no energy that comes through. And that's part of what we need as humans. And that's just from experience. Like, I've never researched this or anything. That's because that is the truth, like, of like, why it's necessary. But I do have to go because I got to get back to work. But it was awesome calling in and talking with you, and may you have a lovely, amazing show.
All right, and I appreciate you calling in, and sorry you have to go back to work, we all have to do that at times.
I'll have to call in sometime.
Definitely. I definitely challenge you to try to go barefoot even more. If you do some of the research, there is a ton out there that, from medical professionals, research studies, PhDs, that talk about the benefits of grounding or earthing, as they call it.
It's so important. It helps your muscles, the generation or the development of your muscles and, like, your nervous system, especially, and your spine. Like I said, this is from experience, okay, guys? Anyway, but I do have to go because my lunch is over.
Understand. Enjoy.
All right, it was a pleasure. All right, bye.
All right. Bye. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a ad break. We're kind of a little behind on that today, but we've had some callers, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick ad break.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
Why should they control what doesn't sow? Agriculture. That's enough. That's enough. The EPA and the Corps, they will strive to justify, but we won't back down. Don't need more government anyway. That's enough. Government anyway.
Tell the EPA it's time to ditch the rule. Ditchtherule.fb.org. This is a message from the Missouri Farm Bureau. Contact them at 573-893-1558.
Problems with Common Core, I don't even have time to go into most of them, but a step in the right direction would be to give local communities, teachers, parents control over their schools so they can design curriculums and standards to best meet the needs of their students and get the federal government out of education.
Welcome back. And callers today. Good to hear from people. I definitely challenge people to call in and participate. Right now, though, I'm going to go into an article, and it doesn't really show the source, but it says, three times it is better to be barefoot than wearing shoes. And it says, it may sound strange to you, but sometimes walking barefoot is a good idea. It makes the muscles strong and relaxes you. Your feet are built on the architecture of your hands. Just imagine your hands are constantly covered with gloves. This is what also happens with your feet. Wearing shoes also leads to a number of foot problems. Since your feet are stuck into unnatural restrictive bindings, bunions, corns, hammer toes, Achilles, tendonitis, pronation, degenerative arthritis, hip problems, and back pain, are just a few of the problems that are caused by wearing shoes. Here are a few times when you can spare your feet a relaxing time. In a park, go to a park and tread on the grass for 5 minutes with your shoes on and then walk on the grass barefoot for 5 minutes. You'll be astonished at the difference. You'll sense much closer to nature. A lot more also have points for your eyes, ears, lungs, face, stomach, brain, pretty much every organ in your body is connected through your feet. Unlike hard flooring, grass is a soft surface that molds your feet, so walking grass gently stimulates these points, keeping your body in equilibrium and improving the overall health. At home, if you tend to wear shoes or slippers at home, it's time to stop. Your feet have around 72,000 nerve endings, but they start to die when you wear shoes for too long. Take your shoes off at home and let your feet reconnect with the floor. When you are upright, your feet only connection with the ground. This connection is very significant to your posture, balance, and alignment. If it's cold, wear socks, it's saying, but avoid wearing shoes. It's a good idea to leave all shoes outside the house or in the entrance, and shoes tend to have a lot of mud, dirt, and germs caked on the bottom. So it's better not to bring them in the house, which is something I've often said. How often do you wash your shoes? My feet get washed at least once a day, sometimes more as a barefooter, but typically at least once a day, and I doubt there's too many people washing their shoes inside and out once a day. The next said, saying at the gym, saying keep your shoes on when you're on machines, treadmill, cycle, or elliptical, but go barefoot when you can. I would say you don't have to have your shoes on for those either, but this article is saying that, like push-ups, lunges, deadlifts, crunches, these are body weight exercises, and allowing your feet to be in contact with the floor will improve your stability, increase your range of motion, and ensure that you get better gains from your workout. I think the article is on track. However, there's way more than three places. You literally can go barefoot just about anywhere. It's legal. It's healthy. You'll find yourself enjoying the experience so much more. Whether you're going shopping, out to a restaurant, you name it, there's no reason to, you don't put gloves on to go do those things. Why cover your feet? You're not creating any problems for yourself or anyone else, other than the social stigma that currently exists that needs to be broke. And it'll help to break it by confronting those barriers. And the benefits are amazing once you try it and get past the initial concerns and fears and just that social stigma that goes along with it. Once you pass that, it's really quite an enjoyable experience. And I challenge everyone to try it. This article makes a good point. Your feet are really no different than your hands. Why would you walk around with your hands covered every waking moment, which is practically what people do with their shoes, have them on from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed. Some people do take them off at home, but a lot of people don't. I can't imagine that. The things that they mentioned are just really the tip of the iceberg. There's so many things. You're changing the biomechanics of your entire body. You're at a perfect 50-50 weight distribution when you're barefoot. The minute you change that ever so slightly, you throw your entire body out of alignment. As I've mentioned before, it's like going to get new tires for your car. Just about everybody's going to get an alignment done so that the tires wear properly. They want to make sure that the alignment's correct. Yet with our bodies, we purposely throw ourselves out of an alignment. Putting a heel, even if it's just 1 inch, changes that weight distribution to 60-40. And for ladies that get up to 2 and 3 inches, it goes to 90-10. 90% of your weight gets pushed down on the small bones in your toes. It's very, very bad. But again, even the slight change I'm actually going to close the show just a few minutes early. I have a few things I have to finish up today. And we've had a good show, had some good conversations. And we'll be back next week. This week, I definitely encourage everyone to just give it a try. As the weather's getting a little cooler, depending on the part of the country you're in, if it's too cold, obviously, that's something you'll want to take into consideration. But one of the things I've found very interesting is that the more I've went barefoot, which is practically full time now, year round, the less I feel cold. I don't know if it's just the increased circulation. I truly believe that your feet act as thermostats for your body, and when your feet are telling your body it's 105 degrees because of your body temperature plus being locked up in shoes, and the outside temperature is 30 or 40, I think it really throws your system off balance, maybe opens your pores a little bit and gives you that stinging feeling as the wind hits you, which I just don't get any. Honestly, don't experience that. And it actually, as I've mentioned before on the show, I was actually taken back and surprised when I was, the first time I really noticed it, is I was walking around in St. Augustine, Florida, and it was one of those days where it was a warm day that was going to get very cool at night, and I had a light jacket with me, and so did my wife. And I noticed she was freezing and shivering, and I looked around, and so was just about everyone else. And I was perfectly comfortable, and here I am with a light jacket, jeans, barefoot, and completely comfortable. So it's kind of, your body's kind of an amazing thing. And when we try to unnaturally or artificially come up with ways to do things, it doesn't always fit well. So I would definitely put that challenge out to just go out to a few places there, give it a try. Remember, it's something that takes time. You may even get some negativity in your direction while you're trying. But once you can get past that, and once you can get the conditioning done, it's really a rewarding and enjoyable experience. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and close the show and look forward to...